Our scripture lesson tonight is found in the book of Genesis, the 27th chapter. Read the first 29 verses, and I tell you now that the text is found in the verses 18 to 29. We'll just read those once, but remember the text tonight is found in Genesis 27, 18 to 29, and Hebrews 11, verse 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold, now I am old, I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison. And make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless him before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, behold my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father that he may eat and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son, only obey my voice, and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched, and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which was with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which he had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. He came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee. Sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. And he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Esau said, No. His father Isaac said unto him, Come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him. And he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's son bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee." Thus far, the reading of the Word of God. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we do not find in the chapters preceding our text, preceding the chapter we just read, much evidence of faith. We see, on the other hand, in the lives and conversation of Isaac and Rebekah and Jacob, a distinct lack of faith. Isaac, old and blind, hangs on to his love for Esau and the things which Esau does for him. He hangs on to his flesh, even when he believes that he is very near to the day of his death. Rebekah and Jacob did not reveal a strong faith either, for they decided together that the only way that the word of God can come to pass is for them to resort to lying and trickery and deceit, even though they had a great love for the promise of God. They did not place their trust in the God of the promise. They were willing, they were eager to strive for the cause of the covenant, but they did not strive lawfully. Now in our passage this evening, God will work. God will keep his promise, and God will work according to his own schedule and in his own way. When God works, he uses means. And the means that God uses in his great salvation work is faith. It is of faith that it may be of grace, writes Paul to the Romans. Let me repeat that short phrase. It is of faith that it may be of grace. God will not change his mind and bless Esau as Isaac wanted. God will not allow deceit and trickery to the means of blessing his people. But God will use faith, and faith will have the victory. Faith is always victorious. Faith has the victory over every enemy and in every circumstance. Faith is especially the victory over our natural inclinations, our sinful desires, and all the weaknesses of the old man of sin that is still with us, even after regeneration, and that will continue to be with us until we leave this present earthly scene. There is in the life of the child of God, no matter what his age may be, a fierce struggle between a God-given and God-worked faith and his natural inclinations and desires. You know that. You know what this battle is all about. And faith must dominate. Faith must control the entire character, the whole man. Wherever there is conflict, wherever there is struggle between the old man and the new man, the inner man and the outward man, faith must overcome and stand forth in its beauty and in its strength to the praise of God who gave it. Those natural desires that you have and I have are strong, are they not? They're hard to ignore. They're hard to put down and deny. Jesus said once in his ministry on earth, he that would be a disciple must deny himself and follow him. Young people, children, do you deny yourself? Do you say no to yourself fairly often? That's the hardest thing we have to do in this life. Deny ourselves. The battle of faith means that a man subject his evil inclinations to the holy will of God. Unless he does that, he will sin in some way every time. For example, Scripture instructs us that we are to forgive one another, even as Christ hath forgiven us. We know that. We know that's our proper calling. But we don't want to do that. That goes against our grain. That's hard for our pride to forgive someone who has dared to sin against us. By nature, it's impossible for us to stoop so low as to forgive someone who has offended us in some way. That's tough, isn't it? We know that. We think on that sometime. We try to find some excuse for walking in the way of forgiveness. But by faith, we're able to do this. Faith in God. Faith in Christ. Faith that receives the forgiveness of the cross and is able to extend forgiveness to the brother and the sister, so that there also faith has the victory in the life of the saints. Hebrews 11, verse 20 tells us that by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Perhaps we wonder, especially after reading this chapter, we wonder how Isaac ever made it into Hebrews chapter 11. That beautiful chapter which demonstrates in many different ways in the lives of many different saints the strength and beauty of faith. How can Isaac be included here, especially for his act of blessing Jacob and Esau? Well, we'll have to learn something from Genesis 27 tonight. Isaac had faith. That faith conquered, overcame all of his weaknesses. At the same time, we'll be learning something about ourselves. We're like Isaac in many different ways. And I, for one, am glad that we may find the name of Isaac in Hebrews chapter 11. Consider with me tonight Isaac's blessing of Jacob by faith. Isaac's blessing of Jacob by faith. Notice, first of all, his intense spiritual struggle, and then the rich blessing promised to him, and finally the victory, Isaac's victory, and our victory by faith alone. Although Scripture does not tell us in so many words, we can well imagine what thoughts were running through Isaac's mind as he waits for Esau to return from the field and to bring him a platter of savory meat. Do little children know what savory meat is? Savory meat is spicy meatloaf. That's what it is. Maybe you like it, maybe you don't. But that's what it is. Spicy venison, spicy deer meat. Very likely, he is not sleeping, but he sits trying to justify in his own mind the thing he has determined to do, and that is to bless Esau. That's characteristic of a person when he has decided to do what he knows to be wrong. He begins to justify himself. He begins to excuse himself before the bar of his own conscience. His thinking went like this. In spite of all that Rebekah had told him, has it not always been the case, the divine rule even, that the firstborn should be blessed? Why should that rule be set aside when it comes to his own family? And although it is true that Esau so far in his life proved himself to be a profane person, he didn't show any interest in spiritual things at all. Nevertheless, he is not too old to be corrected. Someday he might change. Perhaps he's only having a fling, as so many young men like to have. He's sowing a few wild oats, don't you know? But when he is older and comes to his senses, then he will change, he will sober up and take up his covenant responsibilities. And God the Lord is almighty. He's full of mercy. He will make straight that which is crooked. He will fulfill his covenant with me in the natural way through Esau. Besides that, Esau is not only the elder, but he is the stronger, thinks Isaac, and I see in him leadership qualities that are absent in Jacob. Esau would be better qualified to take my place as head of the family when I am gone. Jacob has certain traits that I cannot always approve of. He's not always above reproof, rather clever, cunning, and sly. Esau would be better able to look after my affairs when I'm gone. And anyway, it's all settled. I have told Esau my intention of blessing him, and I cannot go back on my word. Thoughts such as these must have run through the mind of this aged saint. And then suddenly his thoughts are interrupted by the appearance of Jacob in the door of his tent, and his exclamation, "My father!" I do not want to repeat everything that we find in the narrative of Genesis 27, but I do want to point out a few significant points here. First of all, we ought to notice how thoroughly the deception has been planned and how every eventuality has been provided for. When Isaac expresses surprise that Esau has returned so quickly with the venison, Jacob has an answer already. "Because the Lord thy God has sent it to me." That was a masterstroke. Esau was not a person who easily took the name of God upon his lips, except to curse and to swear. Certainly Esau did not call God, the Lord, his God, for he did not know God as his God. And therefore Jacob cleverly says, "The Lord, thy God, O Father, has blessed me in hunting and sent it to me." Jacob did not slip, but he speaks as if he were Esau. The voice bothered Isaac, so he thought he would have him come close, his son to come close to his bedside, that he might touch him, because Esau was extremely hairy. So he tells his son, "Come near that I may stroke your hands." This also has been prepared for. Rebekah had covered his hands and arms and neck with goat skins. Well, Isaac touched him. The father cries out, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." Next, Isaac says, "Come near now and kiss me, my son." He will next check out his sense of smell. He has smelled the clothing of Esau often. They always smelled of the field, the smell of animals, the smell of blood. His clothing reeked. "Come near and kiss me." And of course, Jacob was wearing Esau's clothing, which his mother had provided for him. He kisses his father. Isaac smells the clothing that it is Esau. And So he blessed him. We can only stand amazed at the brazen lies that Jacob told to his own dear father. Over and over again, he lied. I am Esau, father. The Lord has sent me this deer so quickly, father. On and on. The whole plan was based on deceit. It was all a lie. And as you know, one lie begets another. Your children have been told that, haven't you? By your parents, by your teachers at school, that if you tell a lie, pretty soon you tell another to cover it up, and then another, and then you don't even remember what you said anymore. The only way to break the vicious circle of lying is to repent and stop that terrible sin. We have to see in these verses, especially, beloved in the Lord, that Isaac was undergoing an intense spiritual change. Even though it was his intention to bless the older son, there's much evidence in the text to show that he had doubts that this was Esau before him, and even evidence that he knew it was Jacob. Let me repeat that. That's a key point in this passage of the gospel. As he went through this conversation with Jacob, Isaac has some doubts as to the true identity of the son, and even has some strong inclinations towards the point that it's Jacob before him. It's true he was confused at times. It's true his old nature was giving him a very difficult battle. True, he did not want to give in to what he knew the will of God to be. Nevertheless, and if you have your Bibles open, this will be helpful, the passage makes clear that he was struggling in such a way that gradually he did which was right. Notice that for a few moments. Verse 18, "Who art thou, my son?" Why does he ask that? He was waiting for Esau. Verse 20, "How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son?" Verse 21, "Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, whether thou art my very son Esau or not." Verse 22, "After he had felt him, he said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." Verse 24, "Art thou my very son Esau?" Verse 26, "Come near unto me and kiss me, my son." And when he smelled the smell of the field which the Lord had blessed, he blessed him. Now, the Bible does not tell us exactly what Isaac was thinking when he gave the blessing to Jacob, who was posing as Esau. But we certainly must see that he had all kinds of reservations, all kinds of suspicions as to the true identity of that son. And the best way we have of describing his mental state and his spiritual condition is to say that he was struggling deep within his soul with what he wanted all his life long, on the one hand, and what God required of him all his life long, on the other hand. There were many, many signs or many steps in that struggle. We mentioned six different things a moment ago to show his doubts and his fears. And finally, after all that struggling, all that conflict, all that weighing in the balance of his mind and heart, we read that Isaac blessed his son. And now the question is, whom did he bless? That is, whom did Isaac bless as far as his own heart and mind were concerned? We know that he blessed Jacob, but what did Isaac understand about this whole encounter? I'm not going to try to answer that question. I'm going to let the Bible answer that for us. And the Bible says, Isaac blessed Jacob, and he did that knowingly by faith. We learn that in Hebrews 11, verse 20, where we are instructed that the great struggle culminated in the blessing of Jacob and Esau by faith. We don't have to worry about the fact that both Jacob and Esau are mentioned here as being blessed. We understand that only Jacob was blessed. That's why he's mentioned first. But we have much proof in Scripture that there was no blessing for Esau at all. In our same chapter, verse 39, Genesis 27, 39, we read of what the father said to Esau. This is a better translation, a simpler, more accurate translation. Thy dwelling shall be far from the fatness of the earth, by thy sword shalt thou live. That's what was spoken over Esau. His dwelling, his place of abode, will be far from the fatness of the earth. It will be in the wilderness. Hebrews 12, verse 17, we read of Esau, that when Esau would have inherited a blessing, he was rejected. Hebrews 12, 17. He was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. He's not seeking repentance carefully, crying about it, but he's seeking the inheritance, the blessing carefully. But he found it not at all. He found no place for repentance. But the point is that Isaac did this by faith. And faith is not something unwitting. Faith is knowledgeable. Faith is conscious. So that we will have to say that the long struggle that Isaac underwent many years of his life, which culminated so sharply in these last few minutes, was a struggle that produced a strong act of faith, or perhaps better to say, that produced an act that can only be explained by a strong faith. The struggle actually lasted just a bit longer than our passage. We can look ahead a few moments to the time when Esau returned from the field. That's when everything becomes crystal clear to any reader of Scripture. When Esau identifies himself, we read in verse 33 that Isaac trembled. Literally, he trembled with a great trembling. He shook like a leaf. Now, that trembling has been given different interpretations. For example, some say that this was due to the deceit that Jacob had committed. Isaac just couldn't believe that his own son could lie to him that way. That's not the idea. Isaac trembled because he saw the hand of God. He saw how closely he had come to denying the will of God, and how God had brought about his own will. Nevertheless, he trembled in the presence of God and at the word of God. And thus, when he explains that Jacob had come and had been blessed, Isaac ends with the words, "And he shall be blessed." There's no doubt about it. The blessing that was pronounced upon Jacob was a very rich blessing. You have all heard about the birthright blessing. You children learn of that in catechism several times over. We find that threefold blessing in a little different form in verses 28 and 29. Just as the birthright blessing contained three elements, so here do we find those same three elements in a slightly different form than usual. The dew of heaven, the fatness of the earth, plenty of corn and wine. This refers to earthly blessings, to crops and food and so on. The firstborn would receive that in abundance, corresponding to the double amount the firstborn would receive in comparison with his brothers. If there were two children, one got two-thirds, the other got one-third. If there were five children, one got two-fifths and the other got one-fifth. I said these were earthly blessings, food and crops and so on. But remember, such things in the land of Canaan had spiritual importance. Water in the rock that followed them. The manna that fell from heaven. The quail that surrounded the camp 3 feet deep. All their food and substance was a special spiritual blessing as well. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. The Lord be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. It's very clearly a reference to the rule and dominion that the firstborn would have after his father had died. Here that is expanded upon to include nations. Esau is the head of the nation of Edom. Jacob is the head of the nation of Israel. This means that those nations that would come forth would serve the other. The elder would serve the younger in this case. Thirdly, there are the sober and important words, "Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee." These words are part of a quote from Genesis chapter 12, when God sent Abraham out of Haran, and Abraham went out not knowing whither he went. The true Israel of God will be blessed, never cursed. The true Israel of God would overcome every enemy, and those that fight against the church to destroy it, they shall be cursed and never blessed. Now the question arises at this point, does the life of Jacob actually show this to be the case? Did he attain this blessing? Or did he fail, as a matter of fact, to obtain it? If you look at the history of Jacob in the Old Testament, it would seem that he is servant rather than master. This is true even in regard to his immediate family. It seems that Esau got the best of him and that Jacob had to live in submission to Esau. If we take a broader view, it seems as if the nation of Israel, the church of God, is in submission to the world as represented by Esau and Edom and many other nations. Egypt to the south, Assyria to the north, it seems that Israel is overcome. The people of God are in subservience to the wicked world. Think of the captivity of Israel and then later of Judah in Babylon. And therefore, we have to view this blessing and the fulfillment of this blessing in Christ and in no one else. Apart from Christ, no one is blessed, either temporally or eternally. Apart from Christ, there is only the curse. But in Christ, the curse is removed from the elect, purchased by his blood. In Christ, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, yea, all the true seed of Abraham, attain unto the promise. Christ battles against the world. He battles against the devil. He battles against our sinful flesh. And he does it all by himself because no one would stand with him. Christ is exalted to heavenly glory and sits down at God's right hand with a name that is above every name. And with Christ, all the elect of God also have dominion. We're all set in heavenly places in him. Jacob Israel is a truly blessed one. Christ takes away his curse and our curse. And Christ blesses Jacob and us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That's the great blessing that belongs to the people of God. This is the great blessing that Jacob pronounces upon Jacob as his faith has the victory. That faith that God gave to Isaac is the same faith that you and I have. Understand that well. There's only one kind of faith. We don't even have to put an adjective in front of it. We speak of saving faith. Of course it is. Faith saves us. In essentials class, we speak of miraculous faith, temporary faith, and historical faith, don't we? All counterfeits of faith. There is only true faith. And faith always has the victory. It overcomes every weakness, every foe, every obstacle, because it unites us to Jesus Christ by his Spirit. Faith joins a man or a woman. Faith joins a young person and child to the risen, victorious Christ. Are you a giant of faith? Are you a hero of faith? Where do you stand in this matter? Would you dare to insert your name in Hebrews chapter 11? There's a sense, you know, in which it is true that every child of God is included in the 11th to the Hebrews. That's the idea of that chapter. Hebrews 11 is not a chapter that gives us the heroes of faith, as it is sometimes said. No, Hebrews 11 gives us a many-sided picture of faith. It is the chapter of the beauty and the strength and the loveliness and the overwhelming power of faith. And there is only one faith. Every child of God has the same faith that Abraham had, and Isaac had, and Jacob had. No, I'm not a hero of faith. No, I'm not an outstanding example of faith in my generation, but I know this. And I'm thankful for this. I have the same faith as did Isaac and his father and his son. And that means that for me also, faith is the victory that overcomes it all. The world, the devil, and my sinful flesh. Faith led Isaac step by step. Faith did not give Isaac the victory very quickly, not very early in his life either, almost near the end. First, Isaac pronounces proudly that Esau is going to get the blessing, no doubt about it. And then gradually he has some doubts as to the identity of his son. And so he continues, he goes on. Even with some doubts remaining, he blesses Jacob. Later, when Esau has returned, he trembles in the presence of God And almost immediately his strong faith asserts itself, yea, and he shall be blessed. And in the next chapter, as Jacob flees for his life to the house of Laban, Isaac continues to speak in faith, God Almighty bless thee, make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. There you have the complete victory of faith, the perfect realization of the text when it says, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob. The gift of faith overcame every weakness, every temptation, every inclination to go astray. And in our case, what are our weaknesses today? Well, love for natural things, love of the world, the pleasures of this world, secret sins which we cherish, those are the things which can cause us to stumble and which can rob us of so much joy in our lives. But if we have the principle of faith in our hearts, and we do as the people of God, that faith will surely conquer. That would not be the case if faith were our own work. Faith is God's gift to us, and faith is worked by God in us. There's an article in the Canons. Canons Head 3 and 4, the 14th article, that I used to rejoice in teaching to young people in the Essentials class. I don't remember the number of the lesson, but it's there and you've had it already once or twice. We read in that article that faith is the gift of God, not because it is offered to us to accept or reject by our own free will. That's not the idea of the gift of faith. But God produces the will to believe and the act of believing also. Memorize that a moment. Faith is the gift of God, not that He presents it to us and we could take it or leave it. But faith is the gift of God in this sense. God produces the will to believe and the act of believing. Tell that to yourself some night when you awaken and can't get to sleep, when you have questions about salvation. Tell that to your Arminian free willist acquaintance as he talks about faith being the condition unto salvation and so on. Tell him that God produces the will that I believe, and God produces the act of believing. Through faith, God reveals His strength through our weakness, and therefore we can never boast in what we have done, but always we put our boast in the grace and the mercy of God. In the strength of such a faith, we will conquer our sins and the whole world. And it may be said of us, yea, and they shall be blessed. Every child of God shall be blessed. Will eternity be long enough to express our thanksgiving and praise to God? It will not be too long. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the example of the victory of faith in Thy servant Isaac's life. We thank Thee that we receive this word by the same faith that He had. Lord, strengthen our faith, increase our faith, and give us to live by faith and not by sight. We know that we have sinned even in Thy house tonight as we spoke Thy word and as we listened to it. Forgive every sin. Hear us. In Jesus' name, amen.